When you hear of a popular brand success like Skims, Rode, Rare Beauty, or Aloe Yoga, you may think that all just comes from having a great product. But most people don't realize that it's the business behind the business that drives that success. There's an overlooked secret that makes selling and shopping simple. And that secret is Shopify. So the secret's out. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. It's the home of the number one checkout on the planet, meaning way less carts abandoned and way more sales going. I've been using it myself for 2 years with my own brand of women's feminine clothing and lingerie, so I know what the hype is all about. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/forthegirls, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/forthegirls to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/forthegirls.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly, but then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Settling is not an option for me. Everything I desire is already mine. What if you can have it all? Because every day is for the girls.
Hello, hello. Welcome back to another episode of For the Girls. I'm your host, Victoria Alario. And today we're talking about shifting from being chronically single to being in a long-term relationship. And my criteria and qualifications for talking about this is the fact that I was single for 10 years and I have now been with my boyfriend for a year and a half. And that is a long period of time, a long span of time to be in a relationship with someone, despite it not being 5-10 years. I feel like nowadays it is hard to end up in, you know, year-long, year-and-a-half-long relationships when there's so much out there. There's so many options out there. Everyone thinks the grass is greener. Nobody wants to commit to somebody that's good because there might be somebody great out there. Like, there's just too much in our faces, too much going on. So long-term relationships are less and less likely to happen, but have no fear, because that does not mean that they are impossible to happen. And there are some things that I've done and I've learned that I'm gonna share with you girls. And it is funny that this episode is coming off the heels of my last episode, because it is kind of similar. The episode that I just did with Aliza Ben-Shalom, that interview, like, I had this episode planned to come after that interview, even before we did the interview, even before we had the conversation. So I had all my notes, I had all my points, and then we did the interview. And then I'm like, oh my God, so much of this is exactly what I'm gonna talk about next week. But then I was thinking, you know, everything that we were really talking about mostly came from her, and it was like her words and her saying it as the guest. So it still works, because even if there are similarities, now you're hearing it from me as someone who's not married, someone who is younger, somebody who was in the dating scene, you know, in the recent past, like not too long ago. And just like hearing my own perspective from what I experienced. So it will still be different either way. So that's why I kept it. So if you listen to that last episode, I think that you're still going to gain so much from this one in any case, because I have a lot to share and a lot to say. But I think to kick this off, first and foremost, I have to say that everything I learned through experience, even though and even if I listened to podcasts and books, and like, even if I was given, like, you know, some advice or whatnot, like, I don't think anything that I've ever heard or was told is what, like, taught me what I needed to do. I feel like I learned everything through just living it and through just experiencing it and thinking before I speak and thinking before I act and being really mindful and conscious instead of working, like, operating on autopilot mode and living my life the same way that I always have, because I've developed that self-awareness and even social awareness. Like, I'm able to observe myself, observe others, pay attention to what feels good, what doesn't feel good, what's important to me and what's not important to me. Because sometimes, you know, people could tell you one thing, but then when you're in a moment where maybe that thing would apply, it might not feel right. Like, it might not really resonate with your heart. So, like, for me, I just always had to trust my gut, my instincts, my intuition, and follow my heart no matter what anybody ever told me. So I think listen to all of this and do with this information what you will. But at the end of the day, if you're dating, if you're meeting people, you have to go with what feels right to you, not just what you heard on a podcast, okay? And especially not what your friends are telling you in the group chat, because sometimes the friends give really bad advice. So let's not go to the group chat for every little thing. But for starters, I think one of the most important things is to get really, really, like I just mentioned, mindful and conscious, but to get really mindful and conscious of your traumas and beliefs, like your limiting beliefs, your fears, and be aware that those are things of the past. Don't let those things get in your way of today. Don't let those things stop you from being excited and being hopeful, because I get it. It's really easy to think like guys are going to bail just because they've always bailed. Or it's really easy to think you're not going to get to a second or third date because you never made it past the first date before. It's really easy to think you're going to be disappointed and you're going to be let down, but you can't let those mindsets, those things, dictate your reality. You can't let those things get in the way of having good and positive feelings. I understand we never want to just, like, get our hopes up too high and, like, set the bar so high for every little guy. And it's like, oh yeah, like, this one gave me this attention and this one did that. So, like, I'm going to have two options. Oh my God, I don't know what I'm going to do with myself. I'm just going to have such an abundance of men at my fingertips. Like, I'm the freaking bachelorette. That's not typically the case. But I mean, when I say, like, be hopeful and excited, there's two different things. One, I feel like I've shared this before. I actually think I mentioned it in the episode with Aliza. I know I talked about it on TikTok. When I went on my first date with my boyfriend, I got my hair done that day, like, for the date. Like, I did have a good feeling, and we had never met before, so I really had no reason to have a good feeling. And I had just been ghosted, and I had just been, you know, let down and disappointed all right before that. So I could have just carried that energy with me. But instead, I was like, you know what? I feel good about this. Like, I got set up. That's something to be excited about. It seems like he's a good guy, because why would this girl set me up with someone who's not a good guy, you know? So I'm going to show up as my best self. And I kind of suck at doing my hair, so I'm going to go get a blowout. And guys, he could have ghosted me. He could have never spoke to me again after the first date. But what am I going to do? Cry about it because I got my hair done? At least I know that I looked great, I felt great, I was happy with myself, I was happy with my outfit, I was happy with my hair, I felt good about the way I looked, I felt good about the way I presented myself, I felt good about the way I acted. So if he didn't like me, if he didn't like that, then I just wasn't his person, and he just wasn't mine. And that would have just made my moving on process a whole lot easier, because then I wasn't dwelling on, was it something I did? Was it something I said? Was it the way I looked? Like, I knew I looked good. And because I knew I looked good, I felt good. And I liked the way that I, like, carried myself that night. And I liked the way that my energy was. Because everybody knows when you look good, you feel good. And, like, you're just your best self. And so I knew I put my best foot forward. I knew I was the best version of me. So if that was not enough for him, if that was not good enough for him, or if that was not what he was looking for, then fine. He wasn't what I was looking for either. So I was not going to, like, get that down on myself about it. There's one thing if, you know, you go into a date with bad energy, you don't like the way you look. How many times are we like, I hate this outfit, I'm so uncomfortable, or I'm having a bad hair day. Oh, my hair's not working, my makeup's not working, my face isn't working. I had to redo my eyeliner 500 times. And then, like, you overthink because of those things. So then, like, you're on the date or after the date, you're thinking, like, maybe it was this, maybe it was that. Like, maybe I should have done this better. Maybe I should have done that better. And for me, like, I don't like, or I did not like to date like that. I did not like to not go as the best version of me. If my energy was really down, like, if I was not feeling good, I would reschedule a date. I would not go on a date knowing that I'm not excited, knowing that I don't like the way that I feel. All of that brings negative energy onto the date. And then you're not your lovely self. You're not your best self. And now if it doesn't work out, if he doesn't call you, if he doesn't text you, whatever, then you're going to be so in your head about like all the things that you think you did wrong or what you could have done better. So be excited and don't be afraid to be excited and go into it being excited. I was not afraid to do that. That's why I went and got my hair done. So I was like, oh, I'm going to treat myself and I want to feel good. And then as far as like that hopeful feeling and really just like allowing yourself to calm down, one of the biggest things for me was that because I had been like ghosted before or been let down before, that was like second nature, you know, that's just like what you expect and that's what you get so used to. So after the first date, when I was like, oh my God, I actually like this guy. Like, I hope that this works. There were certainly times where, say I didn't hear from him for a few hours, I would think like, oh my God, like I'm not going to hear from him again. And then I had to tell myself, he's never given me a reason to feel this way. And that's allowed me to calm down. Because yes, other people in the past may have, but us girls have this mindset of like, they are guilty until proven innocent with guys. It's like a little bit of a trust issue thing where we just assume that they're all gonna do the shitty thing. We just assume that they're all gonna do the bad thing. And it's not until they prove themselves, it's not until they show you that they are innocent, that they do have good intentions, that you'll actually believe them. So I had to get out of that mindset and tell myself, like, he has had no reason for me to think this way. He has had no reason for me to feel this way. Let him prove that he's not a good guy. Like, instead of me saying, like, let's make him prove that he's a good guy, it's like, let him prove that he's not. He has been consistent. He has always shown up. He's never even been late. He's always been on time, kept the plans, never canceled, never rescheduled, never given me a reason to feel like he's gonna go away or like he's just gonna leave me high and dry. Like, I should not be thinking like that. So I think that's a really good like mindset tip or trick to help yourself stop being so like, anxious, but to stop thinking that like they're always gonna let you down. Because they're not always gonna let you down. And if he's given you no reason to feel that way, then you're feeling that way based on the past. You're not feeling that way based on the present. You're not feeling that way based on what they have presented you or what they have showed you. So trust what they have showed you and go with what they have showed you. And if he has never shown you or given you a reason to feel that way, then don't. And you have to psych yourself out of it. This is why you have to be really conscious and really mindful of not living your life in autopilot mode. Because autopilot mode is what's telling you, yeah, this is the same story. This is how it always goes. Don't get your hopes up. Don't like him, because as soon as you like him, he's gonna mess it all up. And that's not necessarily true. And that will be the case with a lot of guys, but it won't be the case with your guy, because the guy you're meant to be with won't do that to you. So if he's doing that to you, then it's just simply not your guy. But that doesn't mean that you have to carry that trauma with you, because someone is going to be your guy. So the trauma that you have from one person, you can't let it affect everybody else, because everybody else, like amongst everybody else, there will be one that is meant for you and he's not going to make you feel that way. So you have to give everybody a fair chance of saying, okay, he's never given me a reason to feel this way, so I'm not going to. Until finally the day comes where you meet the person who you will be so thankful that you didn't put under that lens. So whatever limiting beliefs you have, get rid of them. Do not let them get in the way of feeling good about somebody. Do you struggle to find comfort in your body? Do you experience cravings, bloating? If so, then you need Hormone Harmony, the solution for women of all ages to maintain optimal hormone levels. It reduces bloating and discomfort and supports your mood and general well-being. Happy Mammoth, the company that created Hormone Harmony, is dedicated to making women's lives easier. It has zero sugar and is gluten-free, dairy-free, non-GMO, and third-party tested. And the biggest benefit? Feeling like myself again. That's what women mention over and over in the reviews, and there are over 17,000 reviews for Hormone Harmony. For a limited time, you can get 15% off on your entire first order at happymammoth.com. Just use the code FORTHEGIRLS at checkout. That's happymammoth.com and use the code FORTHEGIRLS for 15% off today.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger for thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger for thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
And with that, I also think this goes into like vulnerability and wearing your heart on your sleeve too, because I do think that those limiting beliefs and fears and traumas not only get in the way of us being excited and hopeful, but also in the way of us putting our guard down, putting our walls down, and being vulnerable. I know that being vulnerable can be scary. I know that wearing your heart on your sleeve can be scary, but honestly, it is necessary. You have to be open to getting hurt. It's the only way. Like, being vulnerable and allowing the possibility of getting hurt is the only way to thrive in love. You can't close yourself off. You can't shelter yourself. You can't guard your heart and protect your heart so much so that your heart is not open to love. If you're shielding your heart, how is anybody going to get through? Imagine your heart with like a metal, like square around it, like borders around it, like a room or something. I don't know how to explain it, but like there's a steel door, shut, locked, throw away the key. If you're guarding your heart like that, no one's going to be able to get through. And isn't the whole point of love letting somebody be able to get through? So being vulnerable is expressing your interest and expressing your feelings for this person. Wearing your heart on your sleeve is being open with this person and telling them how you feel about anything and everything. Not only how you feel about them, but how you feel about love, how you feel about relationships. Like, so many people withhold this information, and maybe they like share it with their friends, or they share it with people that they don't put in the position to hurt them romantically, because they're like, yeah, I could say this to my friend, but I can't say this to a guy. Don't be one version of yourself with your friends and your family, and they all know of you as this like loving, hopeless romantic who just loves love and wants love. And then with guys, you're like stone cold bitch, like cold hearted, nothing can faze you. You date like a guy, you're just like, yeah, I keep all my options open, I'm not gonna commit. Like, don't put on this facade. Don't pretend. Like, it is okay to be vulnerable. It is okay to have emotions and to feel them. And guess what? Sometimes your vulnerability will inspire their vulnerability. Not to say that it's necessarily your responsibility, because yeah, like, it would be nice to have guys just be open and willing to share at any point in time. But sometimes that's not the case. A lot of them have been rejected too. A lot of them have also been like raised and taught like not to, like, oh, boys don't cry or boys don't share their feelings and emotions, like, toughen up. And yes, of course, we want strong men. I think it's very important to have strong men and to have the presence of masculine energy, but no one ever said that masculine energy is a lack of emotions. That's pretty damn toxic if you ask me. If a man has been so molded to not feel, that's going to prevent him from being a good and loving and emotional father and husband. Like, how is he going to be there for a wife and kids if he is not allowed to express himself? Like, you need to be able to have that true emotional availability. That's why I just put out a whole episode talking about this, because emotional availability is very important for both women and men. Yes, strong men included. You can be a strong man while also knowing that there's strength in your emotions too, and that you can emotionally connect with a woman. No woman wants to go on a date and feel like, I'm pouring my heart out there. I'm, you know, sharing how I feel, and I'm telling you, you know, I'm my vulnerability, and I'm wearing my heart on my sleeve, but you're stone cold. You're a rock. Like, I can't break through. Like, you don't connect with me. You don't resonate with me. You don't empathize with me. You don't get there emotionally with me. Like, no woman wants to be with someone like that at all. There's like a time and a place, you know, like, you could have your tough guy energy in one place, but then we need like your soft side when it comes to emotionally connecting. So anyway, that's like a whole other tangent. But why I brought that up is because your vulnerability can inspire theirs, especially if they have never really been vulnerable before, especially if they feel like they haven't really connected with others before, because maybe all the other girls that they've dated are more closed off. They don't really want to, you know, share too much or say too much. They don't want to do too much. They don't want to be too emotional. So maybe they've never dated a woman like you. You know, if you're going to be the one who is, like I said, vulnerable and wearing her heart on her sleeve, maybe he's never experienced that before. And now because he's experiencing it with you, he's inspired and he feels safe and he feels comfortable and he feels like he could let his guard down and his walls down too. So you might create something really beautiful by simply sharing your heart. And speaking of sharing your heart, let's talk about the fact that I was such an oversharer and wanted to change that so badly. Like, I would ask friends of mine who had a bit more of like reserved, mysterious energy, and like they didn't offer like information to anybody. Like, I would ask them like, how? Like, what do you do? Like, if you're having conversations, like, how do you not overshare? And like, why I'm saying this is because I need it to be made clear, like, do not change a single thing about yourself. I wanted to change that so bad, but I couldn't. It was just like a part of me that could, a switch that I could not flip, like, I could not turn it off. And now I think back to like, yes, I was the same way on my first date with my boyfriend. And then, like, you know, afterwards, like, once we were, like, together and everything, I asked him, what did you like about me from our first date? Like, what made you ask me out on a second date? What made you want to see me again? And the first thing he said was, you were talkative and really down to earth. And I liked that. I felt like I could talk to you about, like, anything. And, like, our conversation was, like, long and it was good. And for me, like, that was such a validating moment, because I really did struggle mentally while I was single and dating with, like, don't say too much, don't overshare. And, like, I couldn't help that. I mean, I feel like I even posted about it on TikTok back when I was single. I was like, oh my God, guys, I did it again. I went out with someone. I couldn't help but overshare. I hate that I did that. I need to stop. And like, I started really overthinking about it. And this kind of goes back to my first original point that when I was saying, like, the best thing you could do is be excited and be your best self and show up in that way. And then this way, you're not going to sit back at the end and like overthink and wish that you did things differently. For me, I always would wish that I did things differently when it came to oversharing. And people would comment those TikTok videos like, don't worry, Vic. Like, one day someone's going to think it's endearing. Someone's going to think it's charming. Someone's going to love that about you. Someone is going to appreciate how excited you get and like how much you are willing to share. And like, for me, like, there was just never another way to communicate. Like, I would always think of, like, how do, like, really mysterious people date? What do you talk about? What do you share? Like, the whole point of, like, going on a date is, like, getting to know the person and having good conversations and seeing if you vibe and seeing how you, like, bounce off each other. So if you're someone who, like, doesn't share information, like, what do you talk about? Like, it was always so mind-blowing to me. And, yeah, like, it was the most validating thing, because when I asked him, what did you like about me from the first date, I knew it wasn't just like, oh, well, you got your hair done, you looked great. Like, obviously not, because guys go out with beautiful girls all the time. He could pick anybody from Instagram that looked just as good, if not better. And, you know, like, so it's not about the surface. And so that wasn't what he mentioned at all. He, like, his first thing was just, you talked a lot. And I really liked it, because it just seemed like you were really down to earth and, like, really easy to talk to. And it was like all my years of wanting to change something about myself ended up being the thing that my person loved about me. So think back, you girls, to my very first episode of For the Girls, way back almost 3 years ago now, where I said, we don't match energy, we maintain ours. That could not be more valid. That could not be more true. I stand by that to this day. Maintain your energy. Don't change a thing about yourself. Appreciate who you are. Whatever your energy is, embody it. If you have that oversharing energy, then so be it. Someone is going to find it endearing. Someone is going to find it charming. Someone is going to say, wow, this girl is not some stuck up. Like, yeah, I think nowadays a lot of people are stuck up. A lot of people do think that they could just have better and do better, and like they don't really let themselves have fun because they're always looking for the next best thing. And for me, I really try to always put my best foot forward in dating and maintain my own energy in dating. And now it's like, yeah, clearly that was the best thing I could do for myself. So if you haven't heard that episode, go all the way back. We don't match energy, we maintain ours. It is so true still to this day. And when it comes to communicating and sharing, you need to make sure that you know, like, you have to have so much self-awareness. You have to have so much knowledge on yourself and what's important to you and what's not. Like, you need to know the difference between your wants and your needs. You need to know your boundaries. Let me break this all down for you. First of all, yes, there is a difference between a want and a need. Some things would be great to have, but you don't necessarily need to have. Now, this may translate through the form of love languages. This may translate through the form of the way that they look or the way that they dress or whatever the case is. There might be things that you would like to have and you're like, yeah, I want a guy who looks like this and does this and goes here and goes there. But like, it's not necessarily what your heart needs in a relationship. I've talked about this a few times before. I always had my lists of things that I thought I needed. And then until I was presented with the relationship and until I was in the relationship and some things weren't currently present, some things weren't in my relationship that I honestly forgot I even wrote on the list. And I was able to say, well, obviously that's not that important, because if it was that important, then I would feel a lack here. I would be in this relationship but feel like something is missing. But instead, I was able to look back on my list after being with someone that I knew I really, really liked, if not loved already at that point, and was like, that's so funny that I wrote that. Like, that's so not important to me now. But then there were certain things that, yes, were needs that were on my list that were present. So I was like, yes, these things I needed. I'm so glad that I've always like stuck to that. So you have to know the difference between what your wants are and what your needs are and communicate them clearly. Because if something is a need and something feels like it's lacking and there's this certain thing that like you're always thinking about and that you wish you had in your relationship, you need to be able to verbalize that. You need to be able to vocalize that. You need to be able to make sure it's clear to them, this is something that is really important to me. This is something that I need from you. Are you able to provide that? You know, you need to make sure that you're compatible in that way. You need to make sure that you guys are aligned in that way. But certain things, yeah, they're going to be at the bottom of your totem pole. They are not going to be a big priority. And with that, you also need to make sure that you pick your battles, okay? this is maybe not so much in the beginning of dating somebody, but a little bit more towards being in like a relationship with them. Not everything needs to be a fight. Okay, knowing your wants and needs is very important for this, because you're gonna know what's a priority and what's not. You're gonna know what's at the top of your totem pole and what's at the bottom. So you cannot pick an argument out of every single thing, okay? There's gonna be little things that you need to, like, okay, say it bothers you, but it's like not that important. Save the argument for something much more important. Pick your battles. I cannot stress this enough. And this, I think, was one of like my hardest things that I've had to learn. And it was one of the hardest things that I have, and I still continue to work on, because sometimes for me, I can't help that, like, if something bothers me, I just say it, you know, like, and sometimes, yeah, I will notice afterwards, like, that really didn't, I didn't have to do that. I didn't have to say that. That didn't have to be an argument. That didn't have to be something that I bring up. Like, you know, we all have to be aware of what our negative traits are. And I feel like that is one of mine, is like, I think that comes from being a little bit of a control freak, which I have definitely worked on and I have definitely improved on. But I for sure struggle sometimes with being a little bit of a control freak, and therefore it has made me at certain times not know, okay, let me like pick my battles right now. Let me ignore this one. Sometimes it's like, no, I need things to go exactly the way that I envisioned it in my head, exactly the way that I planned. So that is still a work in progress, but I know that I have worked on it. And I think that as long as you know you're working on it, then that's very important. But yeah, like when it comes to dating and being with someone, like you can't be on their ass about every little thing. You can't be upset about every little thing. Not everything's important. And same with like your wants and needs. Again, not everything is important. I also mentioned knowing your boundaries. This is big, because when you're dating and you're starting to like someone, we tend to like want to lower our boundaries right away. And we tend to like have no boundaries. It's like, I like this person so much. I want them in my space all the time. I want to talk to them all the time. I want to be around them all the time. There's like, you know, that feeling of excitement because you like someone and things are going well. And now like you're spending a lot of time together. So to you, it's just like, okay, forget all the boundaries that I had when I didn't like somebody. It's a lot easier to instill boundaries if you don't like somebody. Let's make that clear. If you know you don't like somebody, it's real easy to tell them no. But the second you like somebody, you can't just be a yes man. You can't just start saying yes to every little thing. And you need to know what is permitted for each stage. There has to be levels to what you give access to. So for me, I was big on like at-home dates and cooking. Like I always said, I'm not hanging out with someone in my house if we're not exclusively together. Or I'm not going to be cooking dinner for you and like slaving away doing my labor of love, because that is such a love language for me, is cooking, if we're not exclusive. So I'm not just going to be like, yeah, this is the guy I'm talking to, or this is the guy I'm hooking up with, and he's at my house all the time, or I'm cooking dinner for him every week. Nope, not going to happen. And everyone's boundaries are going to be different. So whatever that is for you, fine. But just know that there are levels to seeing somebody, okay? There's the talking stage and hooking up level, whatever you want to consider that, before you're exclusive. Then there's the exclusive, you know, which I'm going to assume is boyfriend, girlfriend, because if you're exclusively not seeing other people, you're exclusively together, then obviously you're in a relationship. So let's like cut the bullshit. If they're telling you they're exclusive with you, but they're not calling you their girlfriend, they're not saying that they're your boyfriend, then there's something wrong with that person. So the exclusive stage to me is boyfriend and girlfriend. If it's just me and you, you're my boyfriend, I'm your girlfriend. When I watch Love Island and they're like, we're closed off, we're exclusive or whatever, but they're not boyfriend and girlfriend yet, they're like, no, that's such a big deal. I'm like, hello? Like, do we know what being boyfriend and girlfriend means? And do we know what being exclusive means? Like, it means being exclusively together, not seeing other people. Okay. Anyway, so the pre-boyfriend stage, the boyfriend stage, the fiance stage, and the wifey stage, okay? Fiance and wifey may be one and the same. But I do think that there is a difference of having someone's last name versus not having someone's last name. But either way, they're like one and the same. You have the ring, okay? So you're basically a wife. You're just waiting for the big day. But in either case, there's a range of 3 to 4 stages. Some of you may say that there's a big difference between fiance and wife. Some of you may say that there's no difference. So for the most part, the 3 stages would be pre-boyfriend, boyfriend, and then fiance slash wife stage, okay? So there should be levels to what you give them access to during each of these stages, okay? I also mentioned cooking being a big love language for me, and I think this is a really important thing to do when dating, is to know what each other's love languages are and to show them love in their love language and to make your love language clear for them to show you love back in yours. I think they're so overlooked. I mean, I remember the episode I did with Heidi D'Amelio. She was like, we've been married for, it was either, I don't know, 24 or 25 years, something of the sort, a really long time. And she was like, we just learned about love languages, and it made our marriage have a glow up. It made our marriage so much better. All these first, let's say 20 years, we didn't know about love languages. We never heard about that. So it's not to say that you can't have a good marriage. It's not to say that you can't have a good relationship without them. But take it from somebody who was in a relationship for 25 years and said, our marriage got so much better because of the presence of love languages. So you can survive without them, but girls, it makes everything so much better. And I think it's so important, because that person, say that they don't know about love languages, but they feel unloved and they can't really put their finger on it, because they're not like fully aware, like they don't know about love languages. So that they're not sitting here being like, I feel like something is missing, or I feel so unloved because you're not doing XYZ for me. They just wouldn't be able to put their finger on it. They would say like, something's bothering me, something's off, but like, I don't know, like, am I crazy? Is it this? Is it that? So now, if you do know what the love languages are, if you are aware of them and you are aware of what makes you feel loved, then you're able to just tell them straight up, like, this makes me feel loved. This makes me feel appreciated. This makes me feel good. I need you to show me love in these ways. And then they will. Obviously, if they're a good partner, if they don't care about showing you love, then they won't. But either way, the knowledge of it and the consciousness of it will help your relationship so much. I also want to backtrack to talking about like the levels to everything. This is very important also, because it, in those early stages of dating, it allows you to like mention the future. So this was actually one of those things that briefly came up in the conversation with Aliza from last week. And she was talking about like how to get from the first date to the second date. And she was saying like, mention the future, like tell them like, oh, I'll have to talk about this with you next time, or like, I'll tell you next time. So it kind of like sets you up for already going on a second date. You have to listen to the episode and you'll hear the context that she gave it in. But it was such a good example, because she was literally saying like, if you feel like you can't get past the first date, this is something good to try, like mentioning what you will do or what you will say next time you go out. In any case, I also think it goes deeper than just landing the second date, and it also just like allows them to see a future with you, because I would say things like that to my boyfriend too at that time, you know, when we would talk about like cooking, because that's big for him too. Like we both come from Italian families where food is our love language, like food is everything. We both grew up with like our Sunday dinners and like all the things, and so we're very, very compatible in that way. And so, you know, that's what he wanted in a partner and in a wife as well, someone who would cook. And so I used to say like, sorry, Charlie, you're not my boyfriend yet. Like, you're gonna have to wait. Like, I can't wait. And I would actually send him like food videos that I saved. And I was like, ooh, I'm saving this. Like, I can't wait to make this for you one day. Like, I would literally put it out there. Like, I love to cook. I'm going to cook for you, but I'm not cooking for you right now if you're not my whole entire man. So I think mentioning the future is really good for progressing a relationship. It could be good for getting from point A to point B, like first date to second date. And it can also be good for getting from point B to point C, from being non-exclusive to being exclusive, to being boyfriend and girlfriend, and making it clear, like, things are, there's different permissions, you know, at each stage. So, like, you want me to cook for you? You got to upgrade your package, okay? The package that you have right now, you don't have permission to that. You don't have access to that. Imagine it's like an app when you want to upgrade to pro. All the girls know about FaceApp, right? Okay, imagine like the free version of FaceApp, but you want to get the certain like things, the certain, edits that come on FaceApp. You have to upgrade the app to get that. What about with cable? This was actually an example that I gave him once before. I actually feel like I said it recently. I think I was mentioning it as being like part of the fiance package. And it was, I said to him, you have to pay for premium channels to view this. If you're paying for basic Verizon, basic Time Warner Cable, basic Spectrum, whatever, you're not going to have access to HBO. You're not going to have access to Showtime. Sorry, those are premium channels. You have to upgrade your package. So if you want this certain thing from me, I'm on the basic girlfriend package. You got to upgrade. You got to invest to get me to the fiance package. Then I'll do that for you. So, you know, you can be flirty and tease. Like, I do like to tease and, like, joke around. Like, that's just my sense of humor. So I certainly say it in a lighthearted manner. I'm not, like, that serious. I'm not sitting there being like, no, I can't do this with you or I can't do that for you because you didn't ask me to be your girlfriend yet. Like, it's not really that serious and, like, formal and structured. I think that would make things really awkward. It's more of, like, a lighthearted way to just say, like, you know, gonna have to see what the future holds. And, like, it gets them excited, it gets you excited, it's flirty, it's fun. And then, yeah, they might just progress faster than they would have if you didn't have those boundaries and if you didn't tell them what was to come in their future. Maybe they would take a little bit more time, but if they know, like, greater things are ahead, better things are ahead, I want more from this person is just so great, I can't get enough of them, then I'm gonna have to invest more into this person. And so, yeah, mentioning the future and painting the picture of what your future will look like, that's a big one. And also, I think talking about, like, the future and the standards that you're holding them to and the standards that you're holding this relationship to by saying, like, you know, there's levels to each of these things also allows you both to not get too comfortable too quickly. And I don't mean, like, being comfortable with them. Of course, you want to be comfortable with them. That's not at all what I mean. I mean, like, you know when it's like, don't get comfortable too quickly. Like, in the beginning, you used to take me on dates and you used to do nice things for me. But now, you never do that anymore. Like, what happened? You know, like, they think, like, okay, well, she's my girlfriend now, so I don't have to court her anymore. I don't have to date her anymore. Absolutely, yes, the fuck you do. Like, my boyfriend still takes me on dates and I still make him plan them. Anytime he tries to, like, put the ball in my court and being like, where do you want to go? What do you want to do? I'm like, you tell me, darling. Like, this, do not, we are not doing this now. From day one until forever, you're going to plan our dates. Like, that's just how it is. Granted, if there's something I want to do, then I tell him, like, oh, this restaurant I really want to go to. Oh, this thing I really want to go to. Oh, I want to go here. I want to do that. I want to go there. Like, whatever. Like, of course, if there's something I want, I bring it up. But when it comes to our weekends and we don't really have plans necessarily, he'll still take me on a date. He'll still take me to dinner and he'll still decide where we're going. And I love that. I love that dynamic. It makes me feel like even a year and a half in that we're still like dating. I'm still being pursued. I'm still being courted. And I love that. And I don't think that that should ever die. I don't think that you should get so comfortable with someone so quickly that in 3 months, you're not even going on dates anymore. Now you just stay in every Friday. It's the weekend and you guys are just hanging out. And he's like, I don't know. What do you want to do? Where do you want to go? We can just stay in. And sometimes, granted, we do stay in. Like, we don't always go out because, one, we're exhausted. And, two, it is nice to just stay in sometimes. Sometimes we just want to order food, sit on the couch, and watch TV. And that's perfectly fine. Every relationship is going to have that. And I think that you should, okay? So please don't take this as me saying your boyfriend should be taking you out every single weekend. You know, as years go on, no, obviously that's not necessarily going to be the case. Maybe for some people, but that's not the case for me, and I'm not suggesting that it is. But yes, we do still go on dates. He does still pay. People always say, like, at this point, like, are you splitting the bill? No. Like, that's never going to change. Just because we're together for a year and a half doesn't mean now everything that we built our relationship on goes to shit. The beginning of your relationship sets the tone. It sets the foundation. So the foundation from the beginning was he plans the date, he takes me out, he pays. Like, that's never going to change. And I don't think anyone should expect those things to change unless you're just willing to settle. If you're fine with just being pursued in the beginning, and then you're like, but I don't care after that. Once we're together, like, we could be more comfortable and I don't need that. I mean, then more power to you. But a lot of the time, that is a big killer of relationships. Whether or not you actually break up is one thing. But I mean, it could be the end of a relationship even if you stay together. It's like, you know, you're together with someone for so long that now the woman tends to feel like, you know, he doesn't court me anymore, or he doesn't take me out anymore. Like, I don't feel that romance. I don't feel appreciated. I don't feel valued. And maybe you stay together, but you still feel like you wish you had that. So that right there is a relationship killer. Oftentimes people end up breaking up, or they end up divorced, and they're like, yeah, like, the lack of, you know, feeling the romance in the relationship now just feels like, you know, I'm so checked out. And so you never want to let your relationship get to that point. Obviously, that's more or less talking like years down the line. But even in the beginning, like those first few months, you know, do not let them and don't let yourself get comfortable so quickly that the romance is now dead because you think that it doesn't need to be there anymore. Yeah, we're together at this point. It is what it is. And also, when it does come to the weekends and going out and doing stuff, sometimes you have to give your partner their freedom too and trust them to, like, go out and get dinner with their friends or whatever the case is. Because more importantly, to be completely honest with you, there's a bit of an ulterior motive here. Let them miss you. You want them to miss you. I love when... Listen, I can't sit here and be like, I love when my boyfriend goes out. Like, no, you should literally only want to hang out with me. Like, let's be honest here. But I love when he does and tells me, like, I miss you. Or he's like, you know, I'm sure he's saying this just to, like, make me smile, even if he doesn't mean it. But he'll say, like, I have more fun with you. And, like, I love that, you know? Like, it just, yes, they're out. Yes, they're having a good time. Yes, you're giving them their freedom to go be with their friends and whatever. But you know that when they're away from you, that they're thinking of you. And that just brings so much, like, spice to the relationship and so much fun, especially in those beginning stages when you are just starting to date, but you don't want to, like, drop your friends. You don't want them to drop your friends. I feel like for me, Allie and I used to go out, like when we started going out, like when my boyfriend and I started dating, Allie and I went to dinner in the city one night. She also came into Hoboken on Cinco de Mayo, I think it was. And, like, we went out that night. Like, I went out to dinner with other friends here and there. Like, my point is that I did not dedicate every single weekend to him. I did still have fun with my friends. I did still get together with my friends. And I loved that, like, romanticizing it part of, like, us texting each other and missing each other and wishing we were hanging out. And granted, I was doing my thing and I was having fun with my friends and likewise. But still, like, it, I feel like it builds, like, this chemistry. It builds, like a desire, you know, like when you don't see someone, you miss someone, and then the next time you see them, it's just even better because now you're finally like, oh, I'm seeing you again. You know what I mean? So trust your partner, give them their freedom. Don't hold them captive in your house, even though I wish I could. Just kidding. Don't hold them captive in your house. But yeah, like, it'll just build that, like, I miss you energy, and that is hot. There were actually two other things that I wanted to mention throughout this episode, but I kind of, like, went off track a few times, so I didn't get to throw them in there. But this was kind of related to the whole love languages thing, so let's, like, go back for a second. Caring about the things that they care about in general is so important. Even aside from love languages and showing them love in their love language, I feel like this just goes on that same order of, like, whatever makes them feel good care about that thing. If they have a hobby, if they have a passion, if they have something that they enjoy talking about, like, don't make them feel stupid for talking about it. Don't shut them down. Care about what they care about and offer to even do it with them, whatever it is. Like, if it's something that you can do with them, say like, oh, I would love to come with you sometime, or I would love to try that with you sometime. It might not be something like that, but whatever the case is. And then vice versa, offer for them to be involved in something that you care about. Start to like seamlessly blend yourself and immerse yourself into each other's lives. And I'm not saying fully like take over everything, because listen, if they have their hobbies, you have your hobbies, you want to still have those things separate, because you don't want to be like, okay, every single thing I do is with this person. I don't have any life of my own. I don't have anything for myself. Like if you go to Pilates, like maybe you don't want to bring your boyfriend to your Pilates class, because you're like, that's my escape. Okay, like I want to go to my Pilates class twice a week and just have that time for myself. Okay, so that's not what I'm saying, but I'm saying like care about them so that they feel like they can share it with you and talk about it with you. And then yeah, if every now and then you're like, oh, I would love to come with you one day, like perfectly fine. I know a few of my girlfriends started golfing with their partners this summer, and listen, yes, they go golfing with their guys and they have it on their own terms with their guy friends, but every now and then, you know, he's taking her and saying, oh, you want to go golfing with me? And like kind of teaching it to her, showing her the ropes, because he really loves to golf. So he wants her to like understand it too. I know when I first started going out with my boyfriend, it was February of 2023. So Valentine's Day was basically 2 weeks of us knowing each other. But I was going to pottery at the time. I feel like I've mentioned this damn pottery class 500 times on this podcast. But I was going to pottery at the time. And yeah, we legit just met. Exactly 2 weeks before that, we met on February 1st, but I made him something in pottery and I gave it to him like for Valentine's Day. Granted, he took me to dinner and got me flowers, and I gave him a little handmade poor excuse of pottery, but he loved it. He thought it was so cute because I made it myself with my own hands in my pottery class. I was thinking of him. I made him a little like jar with the lid. And he thought it was like just the most darling little thing. I remember giving it to him and he was like, this is so good. This is so cute. I felt like a kindergartner, like bringing home their class, like school project to their parents, and their mom and dad like frame it, like, or hang it on the fridge with the magnet. They're like, this was so good, baby. That was like me. But you know, it just, okay, no, he didn't come with me to pottery, but I still semi-immersed him in it by giving him something from pottery. Or even like the Jonas Brothers, okay? The Jonas Brothers are my thing. And more importantly, it's my thing with my cousin. So I'm not going to bring my boyfriend to a Jonas Brothers concert because that is my thing with my cousin. That will always be. And so this is what I mean when I say, like, you don't want necessarily your relationship to just take over everything in your life. You still want to have your things. And so I'm always going to go to the Jonas Brothers with my cousin. But when I did go, which I did go twice last year, I made him a playlist of my favorite Jonas Brothers songs that just like reminded me of love, aka reminded me of him and my relationship. And so I made him a playlist of like, I don't know, say 15 songs. And I was like, you have to listen to this while I'm at the concert. So it's like, you get to learn the songs and know the songs with me. And now I play the songs when we're together and he sings them with me. Like, I mean, he's not like singing them the way I'm singing them. He's not belting his heart out, but you know, he knows the words. He likes a few songs himself. So, you know, the more that you care about what each other cares about, it's similar to showing love in their love language. It's just like showing them love in regards to the things that they love and the things that they care about. So don't be afraid to introduce them to the things that you love, and don't be afraid to ask them about the things that they love. And when they do talk about the things that they love, don't shut them down. Don't make them feel silly. It's really important that they feel safe enough to share the things that they love with you. And the last thing, I kind of feel like I saved the most obvious best thing for last, but it's something that is just so overlooked that I had to share. I meant to share it in the beginning, but whatever, we'll go for it now. Do not be afraid to call them or text them first. Now, this does not mean every time, this does not mean every day, and this does not mean you're always going to reach out to them like, hey, what's up? Like, no, that might not be what you're trying to do, but if you have something you want to tell them, you have something that reminds you of them. Maybe it's, you know, 11 o'clock and you haven't heard from them yet for the day and you're out and about running your errands and you just talked about this certain snack at that he really loves and now you're at the grocery store and you see that snack and you take a picture and you're like, oh my gosh, think I have to get it. I got to see what the hype is all about. That right there is you texting them first, perfectly fine, but you're initiating an actually like good conversation. You're texting them something that you thought of, that made you think of them, and you're texting them with intention rather than just like, hey, what's up? How are you? Which is perfectly fine if you want to do that too. Like if you did just want to text them to say, hey, go for it. I mean, I don't really think I ever did that, but I definitely wouldn't care. Like if I hadn't heard from him and I wanted to call him, like I would just pick up the phone and call. Like what's the worst thing that can happen? You decide you don't like me because I called you. Okay, then you're weird. If you don't like me because I reached out to you, then you don't like me at all. You don't even want to hear from me. So I just think it's important to know, like if you're trying to stop the games, if you're trying to stop this single cycle and you really want to get intentional about dating and you want to find your person and you want to develop a relationship, then you got to stop the games altogether. And you can't just sit there and be like, well, I haven't heard from him, so that's it. I guess we'll never talk again. If you want to talk to him, then reach out. There's nothing wrong with that. Anyone who doesn't like you because you reached out to them is weird and they just like the chase. So they just like knowing, like, you know, I want her when I can't have her. They just like knowing that if you don't reach out, it's like making them want to reach out to you more. Like, okay, so then the second I text you and show you that I like you, you're not interested in me anymore because like now I'm not now you're not chasing me. Okay, corny, immature, grow up. So these were all of my thoughts and tips and tricks and things that I needed to express in regards to shifting from being chronically single to getting into a long-term relationship. I hope that this helped. If it did, please be sure to leave a review and leave a rating. If you're listening on Spotify, you could leave a review per episode. So as soon as you're listening to this one, it should be asking you to leave a comment or asking you a question that you could fill in. So you can answer that there. And you can also leave 5 stars on my show. If you're listening on Apple Podcasts, you can just go to the bottom of my podcast page and leave 5 stars and a review there. It would help my show so much. I would greatly appreciate it. Please send any and all love that you possibly can. And that is all we have for today. Until next time, girls.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.